This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go. Ping pong balls, ping pong balls.
So who's going to be sitting there for us? Did you see?
Yeah, it's Nick Collison, bro.
And who else? We got two spots, so.
We're sending Paul George, I think.
No way.
I'm just kidding.
You got me, dude. I was like, what the fuck? That's fucked.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Paul George. Since he gave us this pick, we're going to ask him to sit there.
It'd be funny if the Clippers had to represent somebody.
Oh, my God, bro.
All you need is luck. All right, let me know where you're at on the thing so I don't, like, spoil it for you. Whoever's behind gets to yell it out.
I'm seeing a lot of balls, bro. Balls.
Yeah, I'm on the Michael Jordan part, so you're behind me.
Michael Jordan part?
Yeah, statue of him.
Ah, it's coming. There we go.
Only 20 seconds behind me. You're good. Richard Hamilton has his favorite mask.
Rip. He's got it.
He's got it.
Dude, I love it. You've got the future, bro.
My bad, dude. I'll stop.
No, this is perfect, dude. At least he's not actually physically wearing it while he's talking to people, but... Yo, Chet showed up, dude. So I didn't know people showed up to this.
It's a draft, bro.
I mean, it's a lottery. It's like, I didn't know they sent, like, you know, top five players or anything to the lottery.
Think about Kyrie Irving was there.
Was he?
When? Yeah, there's always been, not always, but.
You're just making that up, bro.
So, no, 14% chance that OKC moves up. Or a 14% chance they move back.
Oh, that's crazy. If we get to both things, we're at 14%. All right, bro. Here we go. You nervous?
Of course, man.
But, like, what are we nervous about?
I mean, like, it's way beyond anything that we can do. It's way beyond. But, like, last year, you know, we were, like, oh, so stoked about everything. This year, I feel like it's about... It's way bigger. You know, we got way bigger at stake. If they can get two top four picks or two top, you know, six picks, then it's completely different changing the narrative to our team. But then again, I don't think that... A third pick and or a fourth pick and a number 12 isn't going to produce two great players. So I mean I don't know, man. I guess I'm just nervous that this is going to, I don't know, turn out to be one of those things where we end up with number 6 and 13 or something. You know,
we're in the perfect spot, dude. I don't know what else to say other than, like, I don't see how we can lose. Like, okay, let's talk. Theoretically, we get 8-12. That's a loss. Right? I mean, but other than that, yep. Maybe 7-12. Like, is there really a way we lose?
Well, again, I look at this year as being one of those opportunities for us to get the big man that we need of the future. And that's whether that's Jabari Smith or that's Chet Holmes or Holmgren. I mean, like, that's the thing. I don't think it matters where it's at, but this is the draft to get that guy. But I don't know if that technically means that we're going to go and get a big man. I mean, it might not be the best player for us on the board. And that's why I think that we got to look at Jaden as a legit possibility, as somebody we pick up.
Bro, I mean, I don't see how we can be in a bad position after this, but it could happen. I could be eating my words right after this, but I just feel like we're in such a good spot, dude, and flexibility. And we got Perk in the building on top of all that, dude. What else can you ask for, dude?
Wojciech.
Woj.
He just threw it out there that the Oklahoma City Thunder tried to trade up to get Evan Mobley last year. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think, in all reality, I think that every single draft, Presti explores moving up and moving back. Whether or not he ever tells anybody who he really wants. You know what I mean?
True.
But I'm completely satisfied with Josh Giddey, dude. Every single time. Like, I know that he's not everybody's favorite player from that draft, but for, like, the timeline our team is on and the skill set he possesses, like...
All right, so let me ask you this then. Speaking of that, you got the number one pick. You going Jabari, you going Chet?
I'm going Jabari, bro.
Do you feel like there would be more value to trade with the second team in the with a pick to get an extra draft pick out of that? Or you think just pick him at number one? Because to me, like, there's too much value for Chet at number one for everybody just to jump for Jabari, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, I go back and forth with this. I feel like it's one of those strange things where everybody's going to have a different opinion about it. But for the way I look at it, it's like this, is that Chet is a once-in-a-lifetime player if he turns out, you know?
Yeah, okay, so you can have that once-in-a-lifetime player, or you could have that player that's, like, almost a prototype of a all-NBA player.
Sure.
Like, or one that could be unlike anybody we've ever seen before. Like, I don't know what Chet's ceiling is, but I know his floor is much lower than Jabari's.
What do you think about Mike Schmidt's top five there? He's saying that Keegan is before Jaden.
I mean, I can't see a lot of NBA executives thinking the same way, personally. But
I don't think Jaden's passing the third spot if the right team is on, if picking the third.
Yeah.
Man, Chet looks like an alien, bro. Those long-ass arms and that little suit coat.
Yeah, dude. What the hell, dude?
It doesn't look like it's supposed to fit.
It's not supposed to fit, bro.
Man, look at those hands, man.
Man, I don't know what else you right. want. Jabari's the
My
dude.
Prediction,
Jabari's the best player number in the draft, bro.
What's that?
Jabari's the best player in the draft, bro, so you got to take him number one. I don't care.
All right, so OKC gets 2 and 3. That's my prediction.
2 and 3, bro. I'm saying 7 and 4, bro.
Nice, dude. You know why I hope for 2 and 3, by the way? Because if we get 2 and 3, that means we knock two of the worst teams out in front of us.
Dude. David Robinson.
He looks small.
I know.
Comparatively to Chet.
Chet's looking down on him a bit, bro.
Look at their matching suits, bro.
Twinkies.
Is there something we don't know? Here we go. They're starting to load up the people in the seats.
I feel like Chet's a stick man.
Chet just doesn't look like he belongs.
But, dude, he's going to be great, but...
I know. He's so skinny, man.
But... I'm like,
he reminds me of KD. You know how, like, KD looked, like, coming out, you know, looked so skinny, and everybody's like, what the hell, man? This guy is, like, all skin and bones. Long arms. It's like what Chet looks like, man. He's all skin and bone. That sounded weird, but, yeah.
Mostly skin. A little bit of bone.
My God, bro.
I'm so tired of Chris Paul's stupid mug on State Farm commercials, dude.
Dude, he gets paid a shit ton for that. Oh, did you hear that LeBron made like $150 million from ads last year and playing in the NBA?
That's it. That should be more.
I know, but he's made like he's made over $1 billion playing. Yeah. But he has like $800 million according to like Forbes.
Or whatever. And they always make up the craziest numbers. I used to believe him until I met a few people who they estimated their wealth, and I was like, I'm pretty sure they're making this shit up because
yeah.
it didn't seem like they had hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think it's like they project like all these earnings and stuff, but like
100%, yeah,
it's not like these people are good with money just because they earn a bunch of it. So LeBron, he's pretty good with money though. I think he's going to be just fine, dude. I think long run, I saw him talking a while back about how he wishes like there wasn't a salary cap in basketball. Could you imagine what he would make if there wasn't like any
salary you think cap? He would be the first $200 million a year man in sports.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that he's not worth it.
Except to the Lakers.
Well, I mean, but that's what I'm saying is like if there was no cap, like there's a team that would have to go out. Like think about it. You know, like Messi, you know, like he makes a shit ton, right?
Yeah.
But they have, you know, they have things that if you spend too much money, you get you know, whatever.
Yeah, what do they have? I look
at LeBron's situation, though, is that, you know, there's never been a player like LeBron that goes and pretty much guarantees you an opportunity to get into the finals if you put the right team around him.
Except now.
Except for when. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, what can you say about the future other than, like, there's no guarantees with LeBron. And, like, it was like that, and it may be again for at least a couple of years. But it's more like, in the history of basketball, there's never been a stretch like what he put together, finals appearance-wise. So it's kind of like, I doubt he's going to, like, ever, like, get back three or four more times. Like, maybe he will, but...
Well, like, here's the thing. This is what I fully believe. If he goes and plays for a team like Oklahoma City, I believe that he could get to the finals, you know, as many more times as he wanted to, because he could literally sit out the entire season and then come back the last, like, 20 games of the season into the playoffs and be fine, you know? So he could play with his son the whole time. Like, seriously, like, that's the thing about it.
Yeah, I heard he's got a boner for Luka too, bro.
I know, right? Sounds like you share one, though.
Dude, I'm just calling it straight. Like, I don't want to see him, like, be successful. Like, but in the end, like, you have to find a way to make the other guys beat you if it's going to happen. And
you're right.
Like, you just can't expect to, like Luka to fail. Like, and those other guys are getting good, bro. Like,
you're right.
They've got that team is one of those teams where you look at it and they become something they were, like, different than they were when they entered the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's special. That's a special thing. And Jason Kidd is right there with his hand guiding that experience for all those guys. And he was such a great point guard.
He's the right guy to do it.
Yeah, dude, I wondered if he would be. And I'm just really, like, he was my favorite player growing up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just really happy to see him, like, be doing it. Because, man, that Milwaukee thing didn't end good for him, dude. That was unfortunate. So, good for him.
Yeah, man.
Bouncing back. And, you know, hopefully Mark Jackson gets a job soon, too. Because that's another guy I love.
I don't know. Mark Jackson, I felt like, got treated pretty poorly when it came down to Golden State. I know he didn't have necessarily the right attitude towards the end, but, I mean, come on, man. You know?
Bro, the balls are bouncing, bro. My balls are bouncing. They're in my throat, dude.
Well, cough those out, bro. Cough them out.
That doesn't sound very good.
Damian Lillard talking, number 6 pick in the 2012 draft.
Man, that's a gutsy pick, too. I mean, you got to have a lot of confidence to go with Lillard from, you know, from Weber State, I think. Like,
yeah, dude.
At six, that's awesome. So,
well, I mean, like, again, I mean, it's kind of like with the guys from across the sea, across the ocean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
over the pond.
Over the pond. Like, that's the thing. Like, you really don't know. Like, you could say, oh, this guy's going to do well, but the competition he's played doesn't relate here in the States, just like with small Division I schools.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Where's Lillard going to be playing in 2 years, bro?
Oh, man, he's going to sign that crazy contract. Like 2 years, $100 million, I think it is, or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Or,
I forget what it is. It's or $112 million, 2 years, something like that. It's insane. Like, he's going to be the first person to be eligible for it, I think. Here we go.
Yeah?
Anderson Bergeron, number 14. Charlotte's PJ Washington at number 13.
Oh, they're going that fast, bro?
No. It's just showing you in order.
Oh, dude, Bergeron.
Wes Unseld Jr., Wizards head coach. David Robinson, the Admiral. There we go. Swin Cash, yes, from Pelicans. Man, she was a baller, bro. Ooh, there we go. Dante Sabonis for Sacramento. He looking sharp. Top button on button. Damian Lillard for Portland. Rocking that chair. Kelly Kaskroff, assistant general manager for the Pacers.
Domas, he played with Knicks, so that's got to be a...
Nick Collison for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's awesome, dude. Gotta love seeing our good luck charm. Our little Irishman.
Richard Hamilton, man. He's got his mask next to him. Looks pretty dirty.
Collison's our leprechaun, bro.
Yeah, man. Jamal and Raphael Stone, the general manager for Houston. Here we go.
You having fun there, bro? In the future.
I'll let you call it out, man. I'll try to keep my shit together.
No. You better call it out. I can't wait. I can't be the last person on earth to know.
The time has come.
Chief douchebag. Leon Stowe. Sealed omelet. The time has come.
14th pick goes to Cleveland Cavaliers. No surprise. 13th. Charlotte Hornets.
So those are exactly how they were expected.
Oklahoma City pick Thunder picking 12th.
All right, so that's what we figured.
We figured.
Now it's all...
Knicks get the 11th pick.
Okay, straight in order so far.
We like that. Washington Wizards get number 10. It is straight up the board so far. Or straight down the board. San Antonio Spurs, number 9.
No surprises yet, as they say.
Pelicans, number 8.
Dude, they forgot to run it through the lottery. They're just putting it way back down.
7th pick goes to Portland Trail Blazers.
First surprise by 1.
Sacramento moved to the top 4, it means. 6 goes to Indiana Pacers.
All right, bro. Now I'm getting fucking nervous, bro.
Fifth pick. Pistons.
Woo!
Woo! This is chances, bro. This is chances.
Top four. We're steady. Now they slow it down, bro.
Alright, guys. Alright. It is break time. Top four is coming back in a second. Oh my god.
What the fuck?
At least we made the top
four.
I
honestly don't feel like I can breathe right now. I was like holding my breath for this, and then they just go to commercial, dude.
Listen, so Sacramento moved to the top four. So let's just say Sacramento is at four.
Yeah? Stop it,
Detroit,
dude. Stop
Detroit.
Detroit
got month pushed back, man. Like, they had the, second best chances?
Bro, I'm chugging my wine because there's nothing else I can do.
I know. This is...
Oh, my God, bro. Oh, my God.
Watch. It's just going to be the number fourth pick. But still, like, the opportunity right here is, like, fucking legit right now.
It's hard to breathe, bro.
All right, even if we don't, if we get like 12 and we are fourth, we still could move up with the 12th and the fourth pick. You know?
Bro, I think you're right. Sacramento's going to be that fourth pick. So.
I don't know. I mean,
I know.
Find out like 45 seconds.
Say they do. They said then we're in top three.
All right, so we're top three.
If we're in the top three. Houston or Orlando, that's it. Who's got better odds than us? I mean,
yeah,
Houston jumped us
14%.
Last year, so I can talk myself into us getting in front of them. So maybe we go top two, bro. Maybe. I feel like we're at this moment in time where we're gonna forget that we ever felt like this. But right now, this is painful. This is painful.
This is crazy, man.
How much more valuable is number one versus number four? Like, if you get number one. You get number four
number
plus
one
two other picks.
What's that?
If you had, would you move up to number one with the number four and two other future first rounds? I mean, that's how.
Maybe, like you would have to, you'd have to give them like 4-1 ratio, probably. Yeah.
Crazy. So, I feel
like
it's like
a
poker tournament where all the money's at the top. Like everybody
this is
else.
A big draft, man.
They all showed up to New York. And they can just go shit in their hands because there's nothing going to happen, bro. All
right, here we go.
Bro, dude. They back from break yet?
Not yet.
Dude, we just need Sacramento to... No. You would be better, bro. It would be better if Orlando or the Magic felt like went right now, not Sacramento. Because then there's a chance Sacramento goes three and they're happy. You know what I mean? Like,
true, man.
Who do you think is going to get number one? Probably Orlando.
That's what I would bet. My bet is number one, Orlando. And then I'm guessing we're at number two or three, man. But I don't know. It's
excruciating.
To me, like one or two doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because you're saying Jabari Smith is the best player.
Yep. To the Chet or Jabari.
Fuck Houston. So,
they
fuck Kings. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck them.
Number four.
Tell us, bro.
Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. It's top three. All right.
Third pick. Houston fucking Rockets.
Yes, dude. It's us in Orlando, baby. Us in Orlando.
Okay, Seastor or Thunder, bro. Yes, yes, yes.
We get what?
Second pick, bro. Second pick. Orlando wins the draft. We get the second fucking pick, bro.
Bro. Dude, it's KD. It's KD land, bro.
Second pick, bro. Yes, bro.
Who do they pick, bro? Who does Orlando pick, knowing their roster?
Oh, they're Chet, bro. They have to go Chet, man.
You sure?
Look at who they have. Oh my God, bro. All right, let's just go through it. Yep. Orlando, number one. OKC Thunder, number two. Rockets, number three. Kings, number four. They jumped up a significant amount of space right there. Good for them. Detroit, number five. Pacers, number six. The Blazers, number seven. Pelicans, number eight. Spurs, number nine. Washington Wizards, number 10. Knicks, 11. Thunder get the 12th. You have Charlotte, 13th. And number 14, the Cavs, man. Hell yes, man. This is awesome. I know it's not necessarily the best outcome that we were hoping for with a two of the top four picks, but fuck it, man. We get the second pick in a very strong draft, bro.
Let's talk about the Magic roster, because I think it becomes the most important thing to us right now, right?
Okay.
So, all right. Their best player on their roster last year, most consistent and biggest surprise, was Franz Wagner, right? Huge asset for them. And his brother, Mortz, right? He's power forward and small forward. So I'm thinking they're not going to go with Jabari, bro. I'm thinking, like you're saying, they need a center. They need, right now it's just Robin Lopez. I mean, yeah, Wendell Carter Jr., he's a good power forward for them. So they really can't have people in that small forward, power forward spot, which is Jabari's position. So I'm thinking this is going to be automatic, bro. This is going to be automatic. Chet,
you got
going to Orlando.
You got Suggs, young shooting guard. You got Terrence Ross, shooting guard. He's 31, a little bit older. You got Gary Harris, 27, shooting guard. RJ Hampton, 21, point guard. Markieff Fultz, point guard, 23. Point guard Cole Anthony. They're set there. You know, center position, they have Mo Bamba, which they talked about moving on from him. They have Bulla Bulla. Wendell Carter Jr., who's playing power forward as well. Brook Lopez, which probably has an end of the contract. And Wagner, which, again, this just fits what they are looking for now.
Now, Bamba did start playing well, but do you think that Bamba is really a reason not to take a player like Chet?
I mean, you would have to be completely set, 100% set, that Chet wasn't going to end up being the player that he is. Now, I wouldn't be upset if we ended up with Chet. You know, if they said we want Jabari because that's who they wanted, I would still feel like Chet is a, I hear what you're saying, but we can always move back at to number four if we wanted to for a very, very high price, because I don't think they're going with Jabari. I just don't. I think that
Who's
for the
that.
GM there? He's young, right?
I don't know who the GM is right now.
Because if you're a young GM and you haven't been in GM for long in the league, you don't typically go for somebody that is a stretch at the second best player in the draft. Chet at this point is considered the number one draft pick. You know what I'm saying? For somebody to go and reach for them that's a young GM and hasn't been a GM for a while, that's where I go at. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not connecting the dots right here, but I don't know.
Man, as great as it would be to have the number one pick, putting Presti in a spot where he's got the number two pick feels like exactly where you want to be. Of course it'd be great to be one, but Presti's so smart, dude, and he's such a great negotiator. He's going to be listening to offers. He's going to be looking at every single option. And in the end, I have a feeling he's going to end up getting who he wants, but that's just because he always fucking does. You know what I mean?
Yep. Exactly, man. That's the whole point. It's going to be interesting. I don't know. Number two is awesome. I'm pumped about that. So, you know, like...
Yo, is it possible with that Jabari and Chet are both all-time greats?
Sure. I mean, there's always that. I mean, look at LeBron's draft class, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody would have predicted that all those guys would be considered the greats of those times. Like, they could have wildest dreams been like, all these guys are going to be Hall of Famers. But, I mean, nobody really could have predicted that, so...
Bro, we got the number two pick. I'm still buzzing, dude.
That's huge, man. Like, again, this year, if we were at number three or number four, we missed the two best players in the draft.
Yeah.
And it just sucks because, like, you know, last year I felt like Josh Giddey deserved to be a top five player after his rookie season was over. But, you know, like, you still felt like there was a drop-off before the season started between... the top three and the next three.
Yeah.
And it's not a diss on Josh Giddey at all. Like, this is not us being, you know, mean or rough or anything. It's just reality. Like, you can sit there and say, okay, there's a tier of players. And this year's tier of players, it only went too deep. You know, Chet and Jabari are back and forth, you know? And what else could the Oklahoma City Thunder pull off to move up from 12 to, like, number 8 or number 7? You know, that's the thing. They have what it takes because you look at a team that's at number 7, which I think is the Blazers at number 7. They're in the rebuilding stage. So, you know, they might be in the position that they're looking at signing Damian Lillard to a long contract, right? And then that's it. They also could be trying to get multiple draft picks so that they can have an opportunity to trade for more players. So a team like Oklahoma City Thunder, who are sitting on 12, 30, and now a top three pick in the second round, right, all of a sudden becomes really, really valuable if you're trying to trade for a veteran with Damian Lillard. So, again, I'm looking at that and I'm saying maybe there's a chance for us to move up to that top 7 to get Shaden or somebody like that. I don't know, but it would be kind of cool if that was a possibility.
Well, say we believe, like, Presti really thinks Shaden's the right guy, right? And you know you can move back and get him. You know, that you can get great value with a guy like Jabari being, or Chet being such highly, you know, rated athletes and players. Like, it seems like that's some of the best opportunity there. But when you look at either Jabari or Chet, like, I think specifically Jabari, though, I look at him as a true small forward. Like, even though he's listed more of a power forward, I'm like, that guy's a small forward. He's
sure
kind of what you want for that position. And right now, like, Dort is our starting small forward.
But I look at Jabari, though, as he's going to have to play that center position as well, and switching off and different things like that.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be able to get away from that.
Yeah. I mean, but I see him, like, welcoming that challenge, you know? But
so you think this is set. Unless Jabari goes number one, OKC ends up with Jabari.
Like I said, unless, like Shaden is the guy that we want and we're willing to trade back to 4 to get him. But, I mean, if we're sticking with 2, it's either Chet or Jabari, and
Let's just throw this out there.
Yeah.
A team like Detroit Pistons that are like, fuck, we wanted Jabari really, really bad. We're going to miss out on him. We're willing to move up and give you number 5 and 3 or 4 other first-round draft picks coming up. Do you take that and take Shaden at number 5 and move out of that number 2 spot for giving somebody else Jabari Smith?
I mean, see, that's a philosophical question that comes down to whether or not I think we're ready to go all in and compete now. And all in for the Thunder is different because you have so many picks in the future. But, like, that option of getting three futures and one this year, I take that. Because as much as I believe in our team being ready to compete, I think if you can extend your window, you know, three first round picks, bro, like that's significant. And if you rank it like kind of like we do, which I'm sure nobody does, but if you do, like I'm thinking right around five, there's that drop off. At that point, you know, you're kind of like, well, I don't know. So if you're reading it like, yeah, there's a really solid top five instead of a top two, then yeah, I think you make that move.
Yeah, and I do think that Shaden is going to be a phenomenal player, but I look at Jabari as being that player that's ready to dominate right now, that puts Oklahoma City Thunder in the playoff picture immediately. There's that.
He's that good.
You know,
bro.
Like he's that good. And I like Chet. I made that kind of clear with you earlier, is I felt like Chet was a great pick, but Chet is a great pick if we're looking at him for 2 years as the he's so good right now, so I hate even saying it, but the project child, you know, like I look at him like being ready to really contribute in a playoff game in 2 years. Whereas Jabari, for me, I look at him and I'm like, you plug him in right here, he's going to be averaging 18, 19 points a game as a rookie.
Yeah.
Immediately. And that's the thing about it, is that that's when you know you got somebody special. Because if you look at some of the great players in NBA history, you know, 17 to 19 points a game their first season is what they did, you know, and that's where I look at Jabari as kind of like, if he can do this, if he can come out and he can play power forward and center position straight up, right, allowing us to play a three guard set constantly, then it's over. Dude, I mean, Shea,
but
Giddy,
but with skills of a small forward, right? And that's the key. And I look at it like, is this the next, like, Greg Oden, bro? Is, like, Chet going to go number one and everybody's going to look at it and say, how do we let a player like Jabari go to Sam Presti again? Like is he the KD of this draft? Like, I don't know. He could go number one, and say Jabari Smith goes number one. Then we get Chet, right? Everybody's going to be like, how do we do that? How do we trick Orlando into taking Jabari so we could get Chet? It's really a no-lose situation, and because of that...
But that's why I said, like, the worst-case scenario is that, you know, Jabari is our guy, and we don't get him, and Sam trades back. You know what I'm saying? Saying, like, hey, I'm not set on Chet. I'm trading back to some team that's going to trade King's their future ransom for us.
If Chet doesn't go number one, there's a team at number seven, number six... number five that really wants him, that's willing to pay big time to get him.
Whatever.
So, like, but, yeah, dude, two is beautiful. Like, it means that everything is in play. Whereas number one...
Dude, I'm convinced the Lakers would take number two and number 12 for Anthony Davis. I mean, that's... If Chet went to number two, right?
Right.
The Lakers would give up Anthony Davis for number two and 12. If that's what I'm saying, is that, like, for the right situation, like, it resets the Lakers completely in one draft. Like, it would be silly for them not to do that. I know how good Anthony Davis is, so I know what people, you know, oh, that's stupid. But if Chet went to number two, his value to a team that's trying to semi-reset and get a ton of money off the books is invaluable. Like, they would, I mean, the things that they would throw at him, because at number one, a team's not going to trade out number one if they think they're the future of this team. But number two is a different fucking scenario, man. Like you literally put a ransom that makes Paul George ransom look like nothing.
You could extend your window for 15 years with the right fucking haul, bro.
You know, like, seriously.
I don't know, man. It's crazy. And the more I think about it, the more my head...
Number two.
Yeah.
Jabari. Number 12, man, it has to be somebody like Dang, bro.
I'm saying... Gotta get Johnny Davis, bro. Let's package that.
So here's the thing that then if we want Johnny Davis has got to slip because of the power forwards, like somebody like Dang moves up, somebody like Johnny Davis just has a horrible shooting whatever.
Well, maybe just like people like combat. Oh, his like arms aren't as long as we thought. Maybe he can't defend. Maybe, you know, like he has small hands or his dick is small and so we shouldn't pick him high.
I hear you.
Like it seems like they always come up with anytime Pat Riley wants a player, like he starts rumors about like something that's bad about them. Like Tyler Hero, short arms. Oh yeah, nobody's gonna want that guy with short arms out there. Like
it's so cheesy.
Give it time, dude.
Yeah, so I think number 12 would be a great place for us to pick up somebody that slipped or even pick up a future player. But I think that a future player here isn't necessarily what we need for us right now. Like, I think this next year we're truly trying to get to a playoff position now that we have number 2. Like, let's just put it out there. Like, with the number 2 pick, we put ourselves in a position to get the big man of the future for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that's it. You know, whether it's the big man of the future of being that power forward or center, like, to me, it doesn't matter because we have a 5-guard set. You know, like, small ball with Jabari out there is going to be incredible, bro. Like, straight up. That's the way it's going to look. We're going to have 4 guards in Jabari, and there's going to be no teams that can be able to fuck with us.
Bro, and even a player like JRE, like, he shifted the small forward for us, and he can play power forward. So, that, I mean, shit.
But think about it, though. We go straight up small ball. Like, execute, fuck these guys. We go Trey Mann, right? Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
Dort.
Yeah.
And Shea, right?
Yeah.
And then you throw Jabari out there at the 5 because, again, we're going small ball and we need scoring from all positions. There's no, like, how are you going to guard us? Your center won't be able to stay with us because Jabari's going to be so fast. And he's not a slouch at defense either, man. He's really good defender. High-end defender. So, like, to me, like they're at the power forward, you're going to have somebody like, I don't know, Josh or Shea or, you know, Trey. You know, like, one of the 3 of those guys are going to be playing the power forward, even Dort maybe. The point is that it doesn't matter where you put these guys. It's going to be a massive mismatch. And you look at somebody that plays small ball so well with, like, the Golden State Warriors, and you're telling me that if they had a player like Jabari that playing that center position instead of Draymond Green, they wouldn't be better?
Can you imagine how good they would have been if, like, Jabari was in the draft instead of one of the other guys they got, you know, with the really early picks? Like, who they get? They got Wiseman with number 2?
Yeah, man.
Like, ouch.
This is incredible, man. I definitely have great feelings about this. Now we got to wait, what, like a month or something like that?
A month.
But to me, like, I think it's kind of set. We get one of the 2. Like, I hear what you're saying about Chet. Like, yes, but...
He's a true unicorn. He's, like, one of the few unicorns we knew about. Known unicorn.
So to me, like, that's not a bad thing. Does it make sense? Like, if we get one or the other, like, I'm happy.
A lot of people would rather Chet. And
sure. And I think it's good that we kind of disagree on who we think would be the better pick here for the Thunder. But the reality is that we both want the same thing. We both recognize that both of these players are phenomenal players. And either one of these guys on the team would be amazing.
Man. And we've got all these other things like trading back in play. So it's unbelievable.
I mean, legitimately, it could be legit. The prize could be so big that it might not be even worth it for us to, you know, like a team like, I don't even know, man. Like, think about it. Like, there's so many teams out there. Like, even the Blazers have a bunch of picks now. You know, the Pelicans have a bunch of picks now. Like, they're sitting in the, you know, top 8 right there, those 2 teams. So, you know, like, man, wheel and deal.
I know.
I like these guys. I would love to either one of these guys on our team, but I don't know, man. Like, again, if we had an opportunity to pick Evan Mobley last year, You know, like, we would have been so fucking pumped with the guys that we have. So I look at Evan Mobley, and I see his skills, and I say, you know, Chet fits that, yeah, that mold for that, right? But maybe Jabari has that ability as well, because, you know, he could be 6'11", you know?
Yeah.
Right there. So to me, he's not that far off. So
Mobley won't look very good next to Jabari if they're the same size. They're not, though. But if they were, like, Jabari has so much more game, like, offensively, like, it just would not look good for Mobley. But same with Chet. Like, Chet is a much better offensive player than Mobley as far as on the perimeter. Like, his game is just built for the NBA. So I look at those guys like either one of those guys, to me, would be the number one pick in last year's draft. I know some people would say maybe not, but, like, I don't see how you take Cade over Chet or Cade over Jabari anyway.
Now, let's just go throw this back next year. If these Jabari and Chet were in the draft, where would they be placed right now?
In what? Next year?
Last year's draft.
They'd go number one. Either one of them. And Cade would go behind them. There's no way you take Cade over
Jabari. So these guys, you're saying these guys are more valuable, yeah, than last year's?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, there's no doubt. And both of them are. Now, with Cade, he could project to be a better player than Jabari, right? But you don't take Cade over Chet. And you don't.
True.
If you're thinking, like, long-term, you don't look at somebody who does as many things elite as, like, Jabari does from the offensive perspective and think, oh yeah, like Cade's gonna be on that level. Cade's good, but, like, Jabari, I don't know, man, that dude is a killer, like, offensively, just a flat out killer. So I don't know, man, like, to me, I that's, they're both number one picks, not just this year either, like, in a number of the last drafts. Like, there are some times you'll look at somebody and be like, oh yeah, like, he might be better, or this guy was better. But in the end, what makes these two guys really unique is how they project out. When you're talking, like, I'm looking at, I'm thinking both these guys are all-stars in 3 years. Like, and both of them have legit chances to be all-stars, like, their first year, which is uncommon.
Yeah, man. You're right. Oh, man, this is crazy. I'm excited. I'm pumped, man. This is the right time to have a second round or second pick in the draft, man. And it's kind of cool because now that we have the second, it could be a while before we have a top three pick again. So,
bro, our core, Giddy, SGA, you know, we're looking at it and we're like, man, Jabari just fits this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. He does. And then you have, on the other hand, you have the other guys that, you know, are so spectacular role, you know, such spectacular role players like Dort.
Yeah.
I hate saying that he's a role player, but on this team, that's going to be his job, is to step up and hit that three and to play lockdown defense, which is a role playing.
Yeah.
Be
a star in your role. Job. That's what we have, a bunch of stars in their role, and that's what you need. And that will earn them tens and tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars for some of these guys. Like, every time I turn around, I see a new trade proposal for Kenny Williams. You know, it's not because he's a star. It's because he's a star in his role. And these guys, they love playing for the organization. And whoever we do pick is going to come in, work hard, and be better for it. But we're going to be better for having a player like that in the organization. And like you're talking about, like, we're starting to think about playoffs again, bro. Like, that's how excited the number two pick gets us.
Well, and you have to look at it like that, because at this point in the rebuild, if you're not looking at a playoff with a number two pick, like, maybe something's wrong. And when I say maybe something's wrong, it's going to be because of injury.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we've seen it happen this year. But the reality is that this team, now that we have the second pick, is going to be good enough, straight up good enough to make the playoffs. You know, like, I mean, we could be the best young team in the league. Like, there is I mean, you look at a team like Memphis, right? And they have a lot of veterans on their team. Like,
yeah, they got a lot
We have a couple 30-year-olds, but they're not like big-time contributors right now. And that's if Favors comes back. All the rest of the guys are, you know, in their 20s still. So, like, this could be one of those situations where, I don't know, man, we look back and we see, oh, wow, look at all these guys that, all these young players that played this year that were under 25. And the fact that we made the playoffs is insane. Like, I don't know. It would be kind of nice not to even, like, have to worry about the play-in spot. And I think that's where we could be.
Yeah, bro, now we're getting carried away again, but it's all right. It's what we do. It does feel like, though, like an incredible situation because it feels like we have the infrastructure where the right player, the right pick could come along and catapult us. Like, whereas, like, the time with KD, we got him, it was, like, the beginning, right? Mm. And it took years of, like, pouring in and, like, here we are. We've already done the groundwork, and now we've got the number two pick. So I'm excited. Can't wait to see how it goes. We're going to be back on Friday to talk about it more. You know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of more speculation, but at this point, we're done. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you then. As always, this episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.